702.
This is Africa Malali on Early Breakfast.
Freedom Day events across the country yesterday, with the national event at the Union Buildings led by President Cyril Ramaphosa under the theme of 30 years of democracy, partnership and growth, where he'll be reflecting on the strides made over the past three decades. He'll honour the sacrifices of those who fought tirelessly for a democratic, equal and discrimination-free nation. Joining me now via Zoom is Sharon Ekambaram, Head of Refugee and Migration Rights Program at Lawyers for Human Rights. Sharon, a very good morning and welcome to the show.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Let me ask, what are you going to be doing to mark Freedom Day tomorrow?
Well, we are having an event today at Conhill as Lawyers for Human Rights, in collaboration with some faith-based organizations and Kopanang Africa Against Xenophobia, just discussing othering and hatred in our country and how do we overcome these. And so, yes, it'll be a project to try and build some solidarity to deal with the divisions that we're experiencing.
How does one even start the process, I wonder? Because if one reflects on the last 30 years of our democracy, the othering has been a very uncomfortable and distressing spot on, yes, what has been a challenging time, I grant you that, but this is just something that we did not need to add to the complexity within our country.
Yes, I agree with you. And I do think that it's important to start with going back to 1994 and the hope and goodwill, which was actually tangible. And we felt the significance of this project to transform our society, the Constitution and its values, which came in 1996. And just that process, you know, was the glue. And I think it's all falling apart around this issue of hatred and othering and xenophobia. And I think that if I had to give you one sentence for why that is the case and what's derailing this project of our democracy, it has to be the lack of socioeconomic reform, of dealing with inequality in our country.
And that, I think, is 100% true. In fact, if we were to put in place a reform and a program that addresses that aspect of our society, there are so many social ills that would be addressed, including the heavy reliance, for example, on criminality, around substance abuse. I think gender-based violence would even be addressed to some extent. And of course, the big topic of othering. Let's reflect for a moment, I suppose, on the legislation that is being brought by the Minister of Home Affairs around how we manage migration in South Africa. It's come under heavy criticism from corners of society. What's your take on it, and will it help South Africa manage an equilibrium, if you like, in having people from outside of our borders welcomed into this country while we are managing and realizing that we have limited resources to enable us to take care of our own, for lack of a better word?
So, I mean, I want to be controversial and ask, and I think we should be asking ourselves, do we have limited resources? What do we say about the extent of corruption and mismanagement, that we're looking at figures of trillions of rands that is being stolen, whether it's the Guptas and state capture or whether it's ongoing mismanagement, tender processes that are corrupted, taking away resources from this project to transform our society. So that's the first point. The second point, I want to go back to our constitution. And if you go to the Constitutional Court on its landing page on the Bill of Rights, I just want to read this out. When it talks about this Section 11 of the Bill of Rights, everyone has inherent dignity and the right to have their dignity respected and protected. And what it explains is that these are inalienable rights, with just because you're a person, because you're a human being, not because you're a South African, not because and of course, it then, irrespective of race, class, and gender. And these cannot be taken away. And I think my starting point is the way in which we are managing the movement of people on a daily basis infringes that basic fundamental right of respect for human dignity. And then we can deal with and talk about how do we manage movement. And Africa, I think when we talk about movement, we have to, you know, the minister is unable to give us statistics, disaggregated data of how many foreign nationals, migrants, refugees, asylum seekers are in our country. And that's because of mismanagement. That's because he's running a department. Yes, there's lack of resources, and that's the struggle. But it's also, by his own admission in the white paper, that the immigration officers are ill-trained. They don't know how to do the basics of, you know, interviewing an asylum seeker and assessing their claim for refugee protection. So those are some of the problems that are resulting in what appears to be these very derogatory ways of describing movement of people, the country flooded with migrants, and yet we can't provide any stats to demonstrate that. In fact, Stats SA, in its recent report on migration, speaks about our challenges with managing the internal movement of people from one province to another. And we're seeing how that's playing out in politics and coming up to the elections, of racism, of political parties playing the race card of, you know, in trying to win votes, in a similar way that political parties like Hamid Mashaba and Gayton McKenzie use xenophobia to scapegoat migrants in order to win votes.
Yeah. Let me ask this then, Sharon, as a parting question. Taking the constitution of this republic holistically, I certainly have on this show been receiving quite a bit of criticism as to the actual document itself and how it perhaps is not serving what society needs right now. I've argued that the document itself is aspirational. It was always meant to be. And it calls on us, I suppose, all of us, whether you're in government, private sector, civil society, religious body, whatever the case may be, we all have a collective responsibility to work towards realizing the promise of that constitution. We've seen multiple constitutional amendments to the constitution, which tells me it's an organic and a living document. It's not meant to be static. It's not meant to be sort of defined as is, and that whatever the society is in 2024 South Africa, they can work towards making the amendments that are necessary to have it realize, obviously, the needs or address the needs that are currently faced in South Africa. Do you feel the same way?
I agree partially to what you're saying, and I think it needs to be emphasized the role that we play as people living in this country. And voting is one, and it's important, but on an ongoing basis, we have got to hold our government to account. And I think we have incredible traditions in this democracy of organizations like the Treatment Action Campaign and various other movements that have organized constituencies, communities, to hold our government to account. And that's what we have to do. We can only strengthen our democracy by ensuring that state capture never can happen again, and that those who were responsible are held to account. And I think my last point is that access to justice is what is also derailing this project in enabling us to hold this government to account.
Sharon, thank you very much. All the best for your event later on today, and have a very wonderful Freedom Day tomorrow. Sharon Egambaram is the head of Refugee and Migration Rights Program at Lawyers for Human Rights, reflecting, of course, on 30 years of freedom in South Africa.